previously on Schooled.
I am these students, and I need them to see me inside of every single student that walks through this door.
They are nothing but a consultant group for private industry who wants to take over our children and put them back on the auction block. Are you with us to shut this down?
Well, this is heavy. You just feel a heavy burden to succeed. You feel a heavy burden to serve this community. You feel a heavy burden to serve these kids, you know? And so, you know, you feel just a lot of pressure.
Javon Weaver could barely sleep before his first day of school as principal.
No, forget about it, man. I was like a kid on Christmas Eve, man.
This was August of 2016 at Philadelphia's John Wister Elementary.
Morning, Ms. Shawski.
Every first day of school can be like a rebirth, but this one was especially significant. The city had just endured a contentious and still controversial debate that led to Wister's conversion from a traditional district school to a charter run by an organization called Mastery. And Jovan and a staff completely brand new to the school had worked frantically over the summer to get things ready.
Right now is this game time. You know, it's like everything was kind of leading up to today. Now the real work begins.
Coming into the change, a lot of promises and expectations were set. Higher test scores, safer school culture, and ultimately, a school that would help the mostly poor student body defy the odds. And many parents bought into this promise. Enrollment shot up by 150 students, with more of the families in the neighborhood opting for the school. And the job looked to be getting harder, as statistics showed the student body becoming even poorer and more challenged by special education needs.
I can't be in 19 classrooms at one time. You know, my teachers are on the front line. They're bearing the brunt of everything, and just got to make sure that they're, you know, they feel supported and they're ready to rock for our kids, man. So that's where we are.
Mastery is the largest charter organization in Philadelphia. Its motto is excellence, no excuses. And over the years, the organization has become something of a lightning rod. Supporters praise it for creating better neighborhood schools. Detractors criticize it for being overly rigid and too focused on measurable data, like standardized test scores. Javon became Wister's principal, as Mastery had self-consciously reevaluated its philosophy. And he adopted a different tagline, love and positivity.
I do think I represent a shift that Mastery is taking on as an organization, and it's all about just love, building relationships, understanding our kids, while at the same time having super high expectations for academics and not lowering our bar one bit. But there's also like a qualitative piece there. You can't always just be so data-driven that you miss the human side of things. And so I'm big on that. It's a balance.
For Javon personally, finding the right balance to strike here was a big deal. He grew up poor in Philadelphia during the crack cocaine epidemic and had overcome a childhood of trauma and neglect, in no small part because of caring educators who both supported him and demanded more from him. And now, as a principal, he carries his past with him in everything he does. And based on his ability to relate to kids, especially troubled ones, he's garnered a nickname, the Student Whisperer.
Talk a lot about no excuses, but again, we have to meet the kids where they are. And Kassir was in last year's mold, and this is a new environment.
This was Javon just after an interaction with a student named Kassir on the first day of school. The boy had been disruptive and bullying to other kids, and Javon happened to be walking by when a teacher was talking to him in the hall.
And the first thing I said to him was that I don't even know what happened. Like, I have no idea what happened, but let's just sit down. Let's figure out what happened. So me just sitting there and saying that to him, like, Kassir, this is a new year. That was last year. This is a new you, and I need to see the best Kassir. That was not the best Kassir. That resonated with him. And he literally went from sitting on the ground, frowning, and within 3 minutes going from that to smiling and going back in the classroom.
This is Schooled, a podcast produced by Keystone Crossroads and WHYY. It gives you the insider story on public schools and the lives that hang in the balance. I'm Kevin McCrory, and in this season, we're focusing on Philadelphia's Wister Elementary, the students, the parents, the faculty, and the huge fight that sprung from this tiny school. This is Episode 3. So far in this season of Schooled, we've heard from many different voices, namely Javon, but also parents, grandparents, district teachers, charter teachers, advocates, activists, politicians, district leadership, school board members, and now students.
Can you tell me first, say my name is, and say your name, and then and I'm X years old, however old you are.
My name is Mikhail Scruggs, and I'm 11 years old.
My name is Corian Johnson, and I am 11 years old.
Okay. My name is Akash McMichael, but my full name is Akash McMichael Nealerin Bay. Last time, I was here for first and second and half of third. It was okay, but I was messed with a little bit. That's why I was homeschooled.
My name is Malachi Eduardo, and I am 11 years old, about to be 12. I was a fighter, and I got into a lot of arguments. But now that I know that it makes my mom mad, and she cries about it, I don't want to fight anymore.
All right, my name is Shakir Anas Richardson, and I'm 11 years old. Since I was, 2 years old, all I wanted to do was dance. My mom take videos on me, and then she'd post on her Facebook and all that stuff. And I've just been dancing ever since.
My name is Naomi Roberts, and I'm 11 years old. I'm not a troublemaker. I don't like doing that stuff. My mom don't play that. Like, I want to grow up to be somebody, be a person that always makes a change, like always stands out from other people.
My name is Tatiana Hubert, and I'm 11 years old. This summer, like a six-year-old, he got shot. It feels sad, and sometimes I feel hurt because he was only 6 years old, and I don't want to die too early before I even do what I have to do in this world.
What do you have to do in this world?
Pursue my dreams.
Each of these students was in the fifth grade. That was the class I focused on over the course of the 2016-17 school year. Worcester is a K-5, so the fifth graders had been there under district control the longest. And as Mastery attempted to change the culture of the school, in theory, they'd be the hardest students to sway. They'd also be the most aware and able to vocalize how the school was changing. Again, Naomi Roberts.
Like, last year it was just, yellow and blue. Like, everything looked like plain board. And then I walked in, went out for, our first day back. I went to school, it's bright, it looked happy, it don't look gloomy. Wow, that's a big change.
With school turnaround work, the thing that typically gets attention first and foremost is the school building. When Javon first visited Worcester, he was shocked at the unclean condition of the classrooms and disrepair of the bathrooms.
Walking through this building and just thinking, my goodness, kids actually walked and went to school here. Kids actually had to sit in this classroom. Kids had to walk into this bathroom.
So when Mastery came in, they poured $1.4 million into the building to make it cleaner and brighter. They also bought new furniture, computers, books and supplies, and did it all with the help of a big startup grant from a major philanthropic foundation in Philadelphia that supports school choice. During the debate over Worcester, this money clearly helped people get excited about Mastery, as we heard from parents like Alicia Grant.
Mastery put it in writing that they're willing to offer $1.5 million in grant dollars already to make this a change. Mastery have their plan on the table. The school board do not.
If you care about one of the many other public schools in Philadelphia that sit in disrepair, this sort of cherry-picked philanthropy can feel patently unfair. But for the students and parents at Worcester, it's clearly a huge plus. Anna Figueroa is a grandmother to five students.
They painted it. The bathrooms looks nice. They have a desk soon you walk in with somebody sitting there to greet you. Very welcoming.
A pretty building, though, does not a good school make. That, of course, really comes down to the educators inside. And at Worcester, to understand this, we need to tell the story of two of the fifth grade teachers, both men in their late 20s, but worlds apart based on life experience and ultimately effectiveness. At the end of a long hallway on the third floor of the school sat the classroom of English teacher Bahir Hayes.
All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. Hayes.
All right, so I was out yesterday.
I became a teacher because three of my little cousins' fathers were murdered. It was at that time when they didn't have a father, they needed someone like me, and I realized that there's probably way more kids like that out here.
Let's send Shamai some shine. Shamai has really made a big jump. First, we got 92 in the vocab quiz. Look at him. Go ahead. Show them teeth, buddy. Then he was actually proficient on his last
With
quiz.
Hayes, Worcester had a teacher very much in Javon's own mold. He's African-American and grew up in a poor section of Philadelphia. He made it to and through college despite the odds and understands intimately the struggles that many students face in their home lives.
I have multiple members in my family here who are incarcerated. My uncle died in jail because he had life. So I take this work serious. This is not just a job for me. This is like superhero stuff. Like, and if we don't change it, you know, people can continue to get shot. You know, we can complain about this, we can complain about that, but if we're not going out here and doing nothing about it, it's not going to change.
Hayes had started with Mastery out of college as a support teacher just 6 years before. But he rose in the ranks fast. Coming into Worcester, he was chosen by Javon as a teacher leader, and he earned top salary on Mastery's merit pay scale. Javon met Hayes through an organization that he helps run, which tries to recruit and celebrate black male educators. And for both men, Worcester was more than a school. It was a civil rights opportunity, a chance to say Black Lives Matter and put the work into backing it up at the nearly all-black school.
I mean, we got a child that just got shot 10 times. You know, this is their reality. So they have to learn how to be themselves, but how to be a better version of themselves. So I have to show them I'm still me. I'm still the guy that grew up in the hood too, you know, but you got to learn how to code switch. And there's times you're going to have to be in an interview and give eye contact. It's times that you're going to be asked to do something that you don't like, but because it's your job, you got to learn, you know, to put on the elbow grease and get it done.
What is the author's point of view on bionic technology and how do you know?
Y'all saw that? Did you feel that? Did you feel the presence and the command, the respect she was commanding?
Watching Bahir Hayes teach is like watching Steph Curry shoot three-pointers, like reading a beautifully constructed John Updike sentence, like listening to Billie Holiday sing. The man flat out has talent.
Yes. A bionic body part or...
It's directly in the text. I'm going to go to somewhere else. This is me talking about evidence, bro. Evidence.
With an infectious smile, he commands a classroom's attention. He pours his whole body, his whole personality into teaching, moving all around the room. Sometimes he comes across like an older brother, teasing you in the schoolyard.
Okay, mean girl. You can smile. Okay, let's do this, y'all. Everybody!
Boom!
Wait, we didn't do it loud enough because she didn't smile. Everybody!
Boom!
Work every time! Woo! She tries so hard to be mean. It's crazy.
And other times, he's the stern father, emphasizing the long-term stakes for the work being done in the prison.
You cannot talk with your hand in your face. Say it again. You're looking like a person that's intimidated. You know you're closing your eyes. I'm going to give you a job at an interview? Would I trust you? No. You can't even look me in the eyes.
I was in his classroom multiple times throughout the year, and when you watch the students, you can feel real learning happening, hear the buzz of ideas exchanging.
How did Lanisha change? Turn and tell your partners how Lanisha changed.
When he calls for attention, he gets it immediately.
3, 2, 1. How did Lanisha change?
And he simply doesn't let students zone out.
Montreux, you're not tricking me, bro. I can tell you're not paying attention. You need to stand up.
So what's the secret to his success? To him, it starts with setting high expectations from the jump and getting the kids to buy into a set of routines.
It's not about being strict. It's not about being mean. Kids like to know what to do. Most of these kids are coming from chaos on a day-to-day basis. They like coming here knowing exactly what to look forward to because they don't get that outside of here.
So this is stuff like having students keep their eyes on the speaker.
Eyes up! Me and Basim are talking.
And giving students language to help them agree and disagree in group discussions.
Zakaya.
You're on the right track.
Louder. Boys!
You're on the right track, Basim.
It's important that they understand how to do those things, but unless we teach them, it won't get done. And it has to get done now, because in December it'll be too late. You can't reteach things that kids are already doing. So if they have... pick up these bad habits and we don't address it right now, in December it's over with.
Hayes' talent lies in being able to get kids on board with this while not making it feel stiff or regimented. It's all a baseline leading to something more authentic.
Kids were just, they were like making connections with each other.
That's Matt Rankin.
They're like, you know what, I disagree with that when you say that.
As an assistant principal, it's Rankin's job to oversee teachers. And within the first few weeks of school, he was blown away at what he was seeing during observations.
And I was like, hold on. I had to actually walk out in the hall and be like, this is a turnaround school. It's like that classroom feels like those kids have been in there all year. Felt like it was April. And that was the first moment when I was like, wow.
The students feel it too. Sakaya Ross told me that her three favorite things about school are gym, recess, and Hayes' class.
Because that's the best teacher.
Why?
Because he's funny. He teach us stuff.
Again, Shakir Honest Richardson.
He's strict, but he not really strict. He'll be funny at the same time, but he always got his point across.
For Hayes, the point underlying everything is helping students develop the social, emotional, and intellectual muscles that they need to break cycles of incarceration and dependency.
They are the foundation for the future, and if we educate and empower them, some of these things won't happen again, because they're going to know how to talk. They're going to know how to keep themselves out of situations. They're going to know how to speak to officers. They're going to know how to, you know, start their own business.
For me, seeing Hayes in action was a vast departure from the image some of Mastery's detractors painted during the conversion debate, one of a school that would be militaristic in its obsession with standardized test results.
It's not on my mind at all. I'm not thinking about that. Because if I do what I'm supposed to, that chart gonna go up regardless. So that's where I'm at. I don't teach for the results. The results are a result of my teaching. Period. You know, and that's just the mindset I have. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to, the results are going to be there.
All right, Mr. Higgins, I'm teaching you math this year. All right? We have a lot of fun in math, I know. Math.
Directly across the hallway from Hayes sat the classroom of math teacher Nate Higgins. Burly and white, he grew up in the Philly suburbs, played D3 football, and started his career in financial planning.
I hated it. And I hated what I was doing. I started coaching football and I was coaching 7th and 8th grade football, and it was awesome working with the kids. And I said, this is what I wanted to do. So I went back and got my master's in education.
This was his second year as a teacher, but first with Mastery and first in Philadelphia. And he came into the job excited to help revitalize the Worcester community and put down roots as an educator.
You hear it all the time. A lot of these students don't have father figures and that. So the ability to have an impact on a student and make a difference in their life, which is it's an awesome feeling. Hopefully this is final stop.
Stop the word problems. Mariah. All right.
But despite how easy Hayes makes it look, this is extremely difficult work.
First question, here we go.
And as is the case with many who were new to teaching, maybe especially to urban education, Higgins struggled early in the school year to control his classes, even as he tried to stay optimistic.
As far as like students, I expected them to be a challenge as far as like being a little behind, but they're getting up to speed and they're eager to learn every day.
Being in both Hayes's and Higgins' classrooms was an eye-opening experience. The same exact kids who with Hayes would be engaged and focused would come across the hall and be chaotic.
All right.
Students would move around the room freely, talking amongst themselves, sometimes throwing paper balls. A few students would be trying to pay attention, but the majority were disconnected from the work. Student Naomi Roberts.
It's like he's a good teacher, but it's not like, I feel like he can't take care of a whole class at one time.
At one point, a few months into the school year, I was in Higgins' class with a videographer. And each time things got out of hand, he would ask us to stop recording in order to remind the class that they were being filmed. In an interview later that day, Higgins reflected on the classroom dynamic.
One thing I preach is that we're in this together. And if they get that sense of feeling that it's not like me against them or me just up there to learn or to teach them and just, you know, just here to just do my job and collect a check. But if I say like, hey, we're in this together. We're going to figure it out together. You're not on your own. They're more willing to work harder for you. And then it does become difficult. And, you know, some kids do want to act up and not do the work. But, you know, we have great support here.
Compared to young teachers in many urban schools who can feel alone on an island, Mastery truly did give Higgins a ton of support. He had deans to help out with kids who were misbehaving. He got tips from a one-on-one teacher coach. Javon would come by to help him. So too would assistant principal Matt Rankin.
So number one is following directions. So put your eyes on Mr. Higgins. He's going to give you really clear directions. Okay? And I'm happy to have one-on-one conversations if there's any confusion about those directions.
Rankin would come into his classroom and model for him in real time how to be more effective.
Just like I would do with a student. So I'm actually like teaching the teacher to some degree.
I noticed that, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's a lot of like not letting him just stand in front of the class and like do something wrong. But in the moment saying like, hey, Mr. Higgins, this is what I need you to do. I need you to stand in front, stand still, and like look at the class. What are you looking for? Right. And so just giving him that like feedback in the moment so that he learns on his feet. Instead of me coming back to my office saying, here's some feedback for you, and then him actually having no idea how to implement that.
For some, this could be an unnerving experience, but Higgins took it all in stride.
I think what helps me is that I'm a former athlete, so I was always constantly like in film rooms, and you know what Mr. Rankin and Mr. Weaver are saying to me is completely different and a lot nicer than anything any of my coaches ever said to me. So it's better.
Again, Siobhan Weaver.
He has a great attitude, and it's all about, like, you know, molding him, but he has to also want to be molded. You know, we can give him all the feedback in the world, but he has to internalize that feedback and then on the back end execute it. So he's a work in progress.
When we talk about the difference between how Wister operated under district control and under charter control, it can't be overstated the role that added resources play. All the supports that went into helping Mr. Higgins make this plain.
Mr. Higgins, what should I hear? What should I see?
In order to really understand this, I dug deep into the finances and the staffing at Wister, both before and after the charter conversion, and I found a few stark takeaways. On a per-pupil basis, Mastery has a significant edge when it comes to full-time professional employees inside the school building. This is especially pronounced when it comes to leadership and support staff. So where the district had one principal and a single guidance counselor, Mastery had a principal, four assistant principals, a director of operations, two deans, a social worker, and a community engagement manager. The role this plays is immense. It allows Javon to do things that his predecessor couldn't dream of, dedicating staff to diffusing behavioral problems before they blow up, giving teachers like Higgins that real-time coaching, and forging better relationships with parents, just to name a few. How's it feel to parents? Latifa Eel is a single mother of a fifth grader.
They're more involved with the students. Before, you didn't really get that. It was just like they were just here. You had some teachers that cared, because my daughter did have a lot of good teachers. I'm not saying that they didn't care. It's just they wasn't so involved.
During the conversion debate, Wister's former principal, Donna Smith, called for more staffing supports in testimony before the school board.
I want to work with the same resources that I had in 2008. Enough noontime aides to adequately cover the lunchroom, money for year-long extended day tutoring programs, money for extracurricular activities, parent ombudsman, school police. These are things that we had that made our school work. Thank you,
Principal. But here's where it gets tricky. When you analyze Mastery's budget for Wister and you take away those startup funds used to make the building nicer, you see something kind of shocking. Mastery actually spent almost exactly the same amount of money per pupil as the district did to run the school. So it's not really an influx of cash that's buying these added supports. So what is it? What's the difference? The answer to that question is nuanced, kind of wonky, and was pretty much never straightforwardly explained to parents during the giant public debate that led to the school conversion. This was at a community meeting right after the proposal was announced.
That's confusing to me. Yeah. That where was this money before? And why now all of a sudden is it available?
The biggest part of it comes down to efficiency. When Mastery took over, enrollment shot up dramatically. And Mastery very purposely has higher class sizes in order to stretch dollars further, leaving more that can be spent on extra supports. Even having a few more kids in every class means a huge difference to a school's budget. No matter who runs it, the more popular a school becomes, it does great things for the bottom line. To a lesser extent, the difference in resources also comes down to how employees are compensated. For one, Mastery's teachers are much less experienced, and therefore skew cheaper. According to state data, Wister's teachers under district control had an average of about 14 years of experience, When Mastery came in, it brought in a whole new staff, and average teacher experience dropped to just 2 years. Money-wise, this makes a difference, but employee retirement is an even bigger deal here. Based on missteps by the state, the teacher pension fund in Pennsylvania is so unhealthy that it now eats up larger and larger sums of money every year. Charter schools have the luxury of opting out of that system entirely. Mastery has done that, and the organization uses a different retirement program that saves it a ton of money, but has fewer guarantees for employees. All told, these differences had a clear impact on the students at Wister, allowing teachers like Nate Higgins to get a ton of help.
What is the total number of nails in all the boxes of large nails?
So everybody think, put your hand to your...
And teachers like Bahir Hayes to push his class to an even higher level.
Okay, in addition to this, you need to be specific.
I talked to Philadelphia City Councilwoman Helen Gim about these differences. She's a fierce critic of Mastery and framed her response as an attack on the city school board, saying it should have fought harder for more funding when the school was run by the district.
It knew what had to be done to provide a quality school education. It didn't advocate enough at either the state or the city level to make that happen. It continuously blamed public schools, teachers, and students and families who came forward asking for investments and change.
Gim's reply resonates with many distressed school districts who don't believe funding is anywhere near adequate. But it avoids the more immediate dynamic that's happening here. Simply put, Mastery ran a much more financially efficient school. And the Wister community traded away more experienced, more expensive teachers who had more reliable retirement income, and in exchange, they were able to provide students with many more supports. And these were the insights that were never made plain during the year-long raucous debate. It was not uncommon to find Javon Weaver quarterbacking a touch football game out in the schoolyard with students before classes. It was all part of the tightrope that Javon walked as the school year progressed. He and the staff were strict and demanding with themselves and the students about academic improvement. But Javon also emphasized that Wister needed to be that hub of love and positivity.
Look at their mindset. They're happy, they're energized, they're ready to go in, they're going to eat breakfast, and again, it's just starting their day off well.
Every day, Javon celebrated students in the morning announcements.
I'm excited to announce our kindergarten, first and second graders, readers and mathematicians of the month.
And most mornings, he greeted every student with a high five as they came into the school.
Good morning, Jay. And I can see from the time they walk in what type of day most of my kids are going to have. A lot of kids walk in, some kids are crying. I'm not just going to let you give me a high five and walk past me as you're crying. Step to the side, what's going on? Let's have a great day. Like, whatever happened, because I know it didn't happen here, but you're bringing it in here. But this is a place where you can be happy.
A lot of the story with Wister has been about a comparison, about how things changed as the school transitioned from district to charter control. But Wister's story also speaks to a more universal and brutal truth. Many, many students in our most impoverished schools are suffering in their home lives.
You know, I have children in shelters that are smart as hell, but it is tearing them apart because every day they know their mom have to wait for a spot because they don't know where they're going to stay. They don't know if they're going to have a bed at night. And yet they have to come in here and, you know, go through the motions of a school day. That is so difficult. We talk about no excuses, but you have a child who doesn't know where they're going to sleep at night. They don't know. What do you mean there's no excuses? You got to be kidding me.
And so for Javon, who lived this himself, each day is an opportunity for the school to be a beacon. What could be one of the only good things a child has going for them?
So if they don't remember anything else about their experience at Wister, they're going to remember, like, every day their principal told them they were great. Every day. They knew they had a principal that really cared about them and really wanted to see them, like, succeed. Just because I never got that. So I'm so intentional on building their mindset and building their confidence. Because oftentimes, even if they have both of their parents, in some cases, some parents are so far checked out that they're not even, they don't even notice how beautiful their children are and how much their children are just growing and developing right in front of them.
This other brutal truth here about parents can't be ignored. In general, they are key allies that a school needs to make in order to truly affect positive change. But in some cases, schools are left to help kids succeed despite the destructive behavior of parents.
Overall, the community has been great and has just received us and have been such a huge part of this transformation. But you still see it. You still have, you know, people come up to you that are clearly inebriated. Like, they are drunk. They are, like, you're just reeking of whatever Budweiser or whatever the hell they were drinking. And for whatever reason, feel like they can have a conversation with their child's principal while they're in this state. There's a disconnect there. But if you feel like you can have a conversation with me, I cannot imagine what's happening in that household. And then you look at the child and you're like, wow, I need to pour a little bit more into this child. I'm going to give this child a little bit extra now. Every time I see this child, I'm going to make sure I stop and we're going to have a conversation just so they know that it's more out there.
Javon was particularly affected by one interaction with a parent who was clearly high when he came to pick up his 6-year-old son.
Just yesterday at dismissal, just reeking of marijuana. And the child being 6 years old is so ignorant and they don't understand. But when that child gets older, man, it's going to blow their mind. Because they're going to be like, what? This is what was happening. But like, what are you doing there? You're just perpetuating the same cycle. You're perpetuating the same habits. You're perpetuating the same diseases. And just, it's insane.
Soon enough, the evidence of how all this affects academics became clear. Early in the year, Javon reviewed benchmark data showing deep learning deficits starting in the early grades.
70% of our first graders are pre-primer, which means that they are having a hard time even identifying letters, let alone, you know, sounds and blends. So we have our work cut out for us. But even with that just being our first graders, it shows that last year, given all the turmoil, it was almost like a wasted instructional year for our students, and that's unfortunate.
The story in the fifth grade continued to be a tale of two sides of the hallway. By November, Bahir Hayes and another veteran teacher were seeing clear progress.
A lot of y'all making a lot of growth, a lot of growth.
They're exceeding my expectations at this point, to be honest with you. They really are, and I'm really proud of that.
Higgins continued to stay upbeat.
Our class is a lively bunch, and it's a lot of fun, though.
But by Thanksgiving, as Javon pored over the data, the pressure on Higgins began to mount.
Our students are really struggling with math, particularly in 3-5.
More benchmark data found that students in grades 3-5 were struggling with math as much or more as they had been when the school was under district control. Meaning, even with all the added supports, to that point, mastery wasn't living up to expectations and wasn't really coming through on the idea of true transformation that was promised to parents. And to Javon and Assistant Principal Matt Rankin, it began to feel like they were falling short of their goals.
I need to be able to look at something that says to me that we made a difference for kids, right? And I think that, you know, it's all really important data of, like, how does the school feel? How does it look? Like, I think that's all important data. But at the end of the day, for me, it's all about, like, did kids make significant growth?
Mastery Central Office was also well aware of the issue and pressing for action. Based on this data, things across the building started to change. The plan for each grade was altered on the fly in hopes of better meeting students where they were.
Instead of plowing through with a fifth grade curriculum that we're absolutely confident our kids, I would say it's actually like 100% of our kids can't access right now, we've completely revamped the curriculum. So like we have to nail that before we can move forward.
Javon, who started his career as a math teacher, added to his day-to-day duties and took over teaching the fourth grade classes.
Don't worry, if you don't understand it, it's all right. We're going to work it out all together, okay?
But the question of fifth grade was more difficult.
Solid word problem. Mariah.
And by December, it started to look like something drastic would need to happen with Mr. Higgins. Again, Matt Rankin.
If you leave somebody in a role where they're not successful, at the end of the day, it impacts children. And we just don't believe that is okay.
On the next episode of Schooled. We finish our season about Wister Elementary, exploring the ways a school can be deemed a success or a failure.
I walked in this new school and I felt welcome. I've been going to the school since first grade, and I never felt so much love in one school year.
We meet another of the fifth grade teachers who wears a civil rights mission on her sleeve.
I said, you know what? Put the books away. You need to learn about this. What's going on in this world right now?
And we conclude our story on Javon, who makes a major personal decision.
There's some blind spots that I'm still not seeing, where I think I'm super reflective, but I'm not. Like, why do I keep finding myself in the same position?